Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are thrilled that you've welcomed us into your home. We would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today, we're happy to welcome again Megan Murphy. Now, if you were with us yesterday, you don't want to miss today. Megan is a speaker and a writer and the founder of MeganMurphyMinistries.com. Her focus is on family and marriage and the social issues, including the negative effects that the youth are suffering at the hands of a pornography-filled world. Go to her website, MeganMurphyMinistries.com. And where is that pornography-filled world coming from? Right here in their hands, that phone that you pay for and you put in their hands, and that if you don't have covenant eyes on that phone, you've opened them up to a world that now you have to fight harder to get them back from. So we need to be wise. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need wisdom. We need understanding. We need fortitude.
We need holy fear.
We need the holy fear of God in our lives, and then to communicate that in great love to our children.
There's a battle for the life and souls of our children. Satan is, he doesn't play fair. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy, but he is not equal to Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As John Paul II said, do not be afraid, but arm yourself for the battle. And our warfare is in that spiritual realm. Our weapons are not of this world, but are spiritual, mighty to tearing down strongholds in your life, in your children, in your marriage, in the church, in your city, in the nation, and in the world. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Oh God, I take the little bit of faith that I have and I place it in your hands. Give me a fresh Pentecost. Pour out your life upon my children that are deceived by the illusions of this world. Restore us to the dignity that you desire for us in Jesus Christ. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, today, again, we bring to you Megan Murphy. She's a speaker and a writer and the founder of MeganMurphyMinistries.com. Her focus is on family and marriage and the social issues, including all those negative effects that are impacting our youth and are suffering at the hands of a pornography-filled world. Go to MeganMurphyMinistries.com. Well, yesterday we heard your beautiful testimony, your beautiful intimacy with God. We live in this world where there's a battle. There's a battle for our own souls, for our marriages, for our families. So how does Megan Murphy Ministries equip families to be battle ready? So what are some of the things, what are some of the answers and the solutions that you have for families and marriages and the youth that are so lost their way?
Yeah. Well, I was just looking at all the beautiful pictures of your family, speaking of family, they're just really joyful. One of the things I was thinking about when you were talking is that my apostolate doesn't offer anything new. God made all things new. We all need reminders. And I think sometimes, whether it's a retreat that I'm doing or a conference I'm doing, it might be, you know, a parish mission or a speaking engagement at any number of events or venues. For me, it's about saying, okay, God is real. He takes my life so filled with brokenness and oftentimes suffering or hardship. And the world, you will have trouble.
Yeah.
And he brings such an amazing amount of beauty and truth and goodness from it all. And I speak on a very concrete level, like, this is my witness, this is my experience. I just said to a group of people recently, it was a kind of a party for somebody, and I'm a miracle. I am a miracle. Mm-hmm. Those people who knew me 30 years ago knew I was pathologically dishonest. I was seriously broken down by obsessive compulsive disorder. I mean, the details matter because I think we live in a culture that gives the devil a lot of power and a mm-hmm. lot of glory. Mm-hmm. And what I mean that is we forget God's power. Wind and waves, Cat 5 wind, mm-hmm. and tsunami-like waves literally cease mm-hmm. at the sound of his voice.
Yeah.
That's our God. He can take care of your family's addictions. He can take care of your daughter's suppression. He can take care of, we need to make the right space for him to
came.
Do his perfect work.
He
That's
came
right.
to mm-hmm. seek and save the lost.
Yeah.
Everything
Restore,
that
redeem.
Is so unattractable and deviating from whatever, he is attracted to that.
Amen.
He's not going to leave it, but
misery,
he's attracted.
That's it. Misery
yeah.
attracts his mercy. I've heard it, Faustina. Our misery attracts his mercy. And the other thing, too, is that I think sometimes we think we have to clean up our mess in order to invite God. No!
Right.
No, he blesses messes. That is his opportunity. Like, just invite him into the ugly, the dark, the unredeemed, whatever it is that's making, and also the beauty. I mean, invite him into every inch and detail of your life. That's what intimacy is.
Yeah.
It's not like, God, you're lofty, so I keep you at a distance until I get my stuff cleaned up, and then,
And this is a critical point, you know, because as a boy growing up in the Catholic Church, I would have said to you, if he's God and he's divine, all-knowing, all-seeing, and needs nothing, why should I invite him in? Does he need my invitation? He doesn't. Tell us about, because it's confusing for a lot of Catholics. It was confusing for me. And really, that gets to faith, that gets to kissing God back, that gets to, because we have free will kind of thing. But inviting him is really strange to people.
Yeah.
He can do whatever he wants to do. Why do I have to invite him?
That's right. Exactly right. I was literally in a five-day retreat. I was in a retreat center for 5 days with a group of people, Christian mostly at the time, and we were having a deep dive into, like, recovery of our loved one. And I remember this woman saying to me, do you know Jesus? And I was like, well, yeah. Like, I went to Catholic school. And she's like, no. Like, what's your friendship with him look like?
Mm-hmm.
And if I had to really be honest, like, friendship? What are you talking about, friendship? Like, I memorized the questions I was supposed to for confirmation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Jesus was a person in a series of books that were kind of historical, kind of poetic, kind of, but there was no knowledge. And so I remember her saying to me, you need to get on your knees and get to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up to my room, closed the door, locked it. And this is the statement I said to him. I said, God, I haven't invited you in because I'm really scared of you. Mm. You're the God that permitted me to suffer. Where were you when I was praying? Where were you when I begged you to get my dad sober? And I got to tell you, the conversation that unfolded was the first honest conversation mm-hmm. I'd ever had with God in my life. And that is what prayer is.
Right.
I remember saying, like, if I give you my life and my will you call me to more suffering?
Mm-hmm.
And it was because I was willing to take that risk and say, I don't know you, I'm scared of you, but I see all these other people who are madly in love with you and how beautiful their lives are as a consequence of relationship with
mm-hmm.
you. And in that moment, and I will tell you that I don't expect everybody will have this experience, but I was, outside myself, flooded with an immense experience of the living God's presence for the first time in my life. Benedict XVI calls that a searing personal encounter with
mm-hmm.
God.
Right.
And I knew in that instant how deeply I was loved, like intimately, tenderly, like a grandmother, like a
mm-hmm.
mother, like. And I wasn't afraid to give my life to him. Then I was able to say that, have it all.
Mm-hmm.
My life, my will, my desires, my thinking, my heart, my plans, all of it. My bank account, my every breath. Like, you get it all because you can bless any mess. And that testimony is the testimony I try to bring in my apostolate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no place he doesn't want to be invited into.
Yeah.
Right.
And wherever he goes, he transforms.
Yeah.
Right.
How do we, oh, I'm sorry, baby,
go ahead. No.
How do we bring that message in our family to our children? Because you could know that, but they may not get it. How do we make sure they're able to hear it, to understand the intimacy with the Lord? I mean, only God can do it, but how do we set up space, time? What are the good ways to make that
awesome
happen?
Awesome question. I've done it badly because of the fall. I've done it weekly, but the beauty of it is that when I do it badly, even God brings incredible good out of that. Like, my kids encounter somebody who says, "I'm sorry, that was really wrong," or "I blew up at you and I'm really sorry." And then they see and then begin to follow their own relationship, create their own relationship with God by means of the sacraments. So, I love this, even in 12 steps, admitted to God, to myself, and to another human being, Father so-and-so, the exact nature of our wrongs. Mm-hmm. That, my first place in encountering confession was in recovery, and it wasn't this, "Oh my gosh, I'm scared I have to go into a dark box now and tell them all my dirty secrets." It was a conversation with a friend. I'm like, mm-hmm. I keep screwing up. I'm blowing up on my kids. I've been dishonest. It's a whole different ball game right. that way, right?
Right?
So my kids have grown up seeing mom and dad go to confession and say, "We're really imperfect. We're following up. We need more God's grace."
Right.
And then going before the Blessed Sacrament, and people say, "What is adoration? What does that mean?" I choose adoration because it has what the world doesn't. Silence. And God's authentic, living, actual presence.
Right. Mm, right.
Like, never mind the apostles. Never mind the disciples. You can go and watch The Chosen, be blown away at the intimacy they shared. We get to be in his presence and consume his heart. Mm-hmm. God became man that we might become divinized like God. And so, making the space, Jim, very intentional. I had to decide, okay, I'm not going to sign on to every extracurricular activity under the sun. I had to sign off of the crazy rat race pace that the world has to offer myself and my family. And the devil will never convince people to do something really evil if they're trying to find God and they're pursuing him. So he'll offer them two goods, and one is definitively mm-hmm. not God's will. Mm-hmm. And busy, crazy, noisy, that's always. There are times it's just like, yeah, I may want music right now, but
I need silence.
I also haven't listened to God. Right. I've done a lot of talking to God, but I haven't mm-hmm. one mouth, 2 ears, and I often act like I've got 2 mouths and 1 ear. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So being very intentional, my kids grew up going to, church. One of the memories I have as a kid before I had relationship with God was my Grandma Gibbons taking me to St. Paul's Church. It was on a Saturday. It was for confessions. It was dark. It was quiet, and it was empty. I got to tell you, that had a profound impact on me. I remember thinking, "Oh, I like the church like this. Mm-hmm. I like it." I don't know that I was cognizant of the fact, like, you're in the presence of the living God, but I had this little sense of wonder and awe that as an adult, I remember walking into a church to go for adoration saying, "I've had this before. Mm-hmm. This is beautiful."
Right.
And I think when we, you might say, "Well, I'm way past that. I mean, my kids are in 15 different activities and my kids aren't," well, start with a family meal mm-hmm. and start learning. Your battle is with your own domestic church, not the world. No. The battle is in learning how to say no to your kid. "No, we're not going to do that this spring." Why? Because I think we need to actually start building up some family culture here. "We don't get to take trips anymore. I want to go to take a trip with you. I want to go on a hike with you." "No, you don't. We'll get exercise that way." And I have to tell you, I make it sound easy. You got to battle your kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because your kid will try to manipulate, or your kid will tell you everything's what's wrong with your plan, et cetera. And I have to say that, like, as long as you are keeping in prayer with God, you'll be vindicated in the end.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be vindicated in the end. Kids often make decisions based on feelings. Feelings are not facts.
Mm-hmm.
And God's will is never wrong, and it's really good, but it doesn't always feel good in the beginning. Giving up that extra thing, not going to 2 dance classes, going to only one. They're going to have to learn purification. And while it might be uncomfortable, there's a tension between the joy and freedom ultimately it's going to bring. And saying, "You know what? You're going to have to trust me on this." And the other thing I would say, Jim and Joy, is that parents aren't willing to be unpopular with their kids, mm-hmm. right? That saying, "Okay, you love me, and I know you love me, but you're not going to like me for the next 3 weeks until you get used to this change, or maybe 2 months while I say no to this, no to this, no to that relationship. That relationship is not helping you grow." I have to be willing to say, "I love you enough to parent you, not to be your peer."
Well, you did 2 things that were important that this culture and parents, the domestic church, are not doing. One, things are intentional.
Yeah.
Right? And then the other thing is you're teaching your children not to live based on their feelings.
Yeah.
With this whole culture, it's all about my feelings and don't offend me and like so get over yourself. And so those two things, I think if parents would just be intentional about their family culture, even take their pulse as to say, what is our family culture? Is it just that we go to church on Sunday? Do we pray in the morning? Oh. Do your children see your parents praying? Are you praying over your children? Are you praying with your children? Are you having a family meal? Are you intentionally saying to this crazy world, no?
Right.
And nobody's doing that. And you have to be intentional. And like you said, it's not evil. It's a good and a good.
Right.
But
right.
There's a greater good.
Right.
Because the greater good is what God wants us to do. And it's kind of like even God gives you all that. We say, my children are really talented athletically. This is their time to shine. This is their time to seize this opportunity in their athletic journey. You know, because if we miss that, he won't get connected to the future. Do you trust God or not?
I was going to say that. I firmly believe that if you're taking them to God, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all else will be granted unto you. If God has given them a talent to excel in a particular area, do you think he is going to actually, well, because you're building relationship with me, now that's got to go.
Right.
And it's just contrary to common
right.
sense, right? And the other thing I would say too is that in many cases with parents, I think the reason we have a new evangelization is because they just don't know how. And one of the things that was given to me, you brought a prayer, so I'm gonna say it. There was this magnificent, my assistant said to me, hey, have you ever heard of this little magnificent program on prayer? It was called Oremus. And Father Mark Toops had led an 8-week series on contemplative and mental prayer. How many families mm-hmm. know how to do that? I had to be taught. Right. Father Mark Toops is a master teacher of prayer. But little things like this that transform the home culture, we put it in our living room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We did it with 40 women. Then 40 became 80. Mm-hmm. Then and what it does is it develops these beautiful little communities of prayer of people who are like, oh, now I know what those Protestants are talking about. Relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, the world religion, I heard somebody recently on a documentary say, I don't need all those rules. And I thought, the word religion in its most ancient form translates relationship. Mm. No, but you do need the relationship,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And I think ultimately, the issue in our world today with this pornified culture, the solution is really, truly found in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is the true, the good, and the beautiful. And if you're forming them to be sensitive to those three, they will be uncomfortable when the counterfeits come
right.
Megan, we're going to take a break at this point. We have several minutes left. We're probably going to turn you loose even more in the last several minutes. Hope this is a really instructive time and hope you will go to the Lord, especially in the Holy Spirit, as we prepare for Pentecost and say, Holy Spirit, please do all of this in my life and in my family. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, I so hope you are enjoying our conversation with Megan. Our goal today is really, we want you to be empowered to be the best parent, Catholic parent that you possibly can be, so that you're going to raise up the best holy children that they could be. Now, Megan, and I know we're going to talk about all the resources that you want to aid our parents with, but tell us about criticism and correction in parenting.
Because I've gotten it wrong, and with the grace of God, I get it right sometimes. Example, I had a call from a mom. She was hysterical. I was in the parking lot of a yogurt place, and she was screaming to me because she had just found pornography on her son's phone. And she was, he's just like his father. His father had struggled with addiction. And she was saying sort of disparaging things, and I said, you've got to stop. You've got to stop because this child is already discouraged. I knew that from my own parenting. And so the idea, I heard a beautiful evangelist on this topic, on the topic of pornography, say, when you find something like that on your child's phone, the only appropriate response is, I'm really sorry that happened to you.
Mm.
I'm really sorry that happened to you. And we're going to give you some tools to help you navigate this very difficult situation you've found yourself in. And we're sorry we didn't do it sooner. I think fear makes us respond with criticism. Mm-hmm. And perfect love casts out all fear. How do we get to the place where we don't use fear? Get informed. ChastityProject.com has been an incredible gift to my family and to my home. We owe Jason and Kristalina a debt we cannot repay. If You Really Loved Me was a book I read and reread so that I had the appropriate language to talk to my children on very tough topics. Yeah. I needed to ask them intimate, vulnerable questions to see if they were okay. Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, a phenomenal book that's really meant for young, young children that will help them to know it's okay to go to mom and dad if something pops up that makes, you know, yeah. a reaction to me right. that may, while pleasurable, is very bad for me, et cetera. Like, all of these things are so critical. Parents don't know.
Right.
They're uninformed, so they're fearful. Fearful leads to criticism. Becoming informed will lead to correction mm-hmm. and encouragement. Like, hey, listen, I've heard this great speaker and they suggest this, or do you understand that your body is this extraordinary sign of God's love? All this is available to Catholics, and we're living at a time that's it's easier than ever to come to know our faith.
Yeah.
What a gift.
Totally.
What a gift, you know?
Megan, thank you.
Oh, no, thank you.
For being with us. We thank God that you do have a website people can go to, and I know that you're more than happy to come to a church, a retreat that might
Whatever
be planned,
God wants,
and do
bet.
The work of evangelization and the new evangelization. Thank you for helping us once again to truly humanize our children, our marriages, and our family. Welcome to EWTN.
Thank you.
Pray this show has been a blessing to you. Do go to MeganMurphyMinistries.com. Watch her videos. Joy and I did for about an hour and a half as we drove to her graduation. She's on fire for the Lord because she invited the one who is the ultimate fire and light to live within her body, soul, and spirit. And so be encouraged today. Be encouraged that Christ, Jesus, is Lord. God bless you and all of your loved ones. You're an important part of this family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.